This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. It is a Thursday, so it's Throwback Thursday. Today, celebrating 1982, it is the snowplow game. Oh, and you thought the Patriots doing underhanded things was just a recent thing. Oh, no. Au contraire. The snowplow came and helped John Smith kick a field goal in a very snowy, cold day on this date in 1982. And the Patriots went on to beat the Dolphins. A strike-shortened year. It handed the Dolphins their first loss at 4-1. So you can imagine how much time was lost when the strike occurred. I was talking about this earlier this week, and after a couple of days, it is starting to percolate and actually come to fruition. I said the greatest off-season hiring in college football is going to be Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. The enthusiasm and the energy is so thick you could pour it on pancakes. And that is exactly what has happened. Yes, sure, Sam Pittman is a nice hire at Arkansas because he's well-respected, he's a pretty good recruiter, and he's been in the game a long time, right? And then you've got Eli Drinkwitz coming in to work at Missouri. Fine hire, Appalachian State, good move up. But Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss is the key. Lane Kiffin is bringing the kind of panache you want from the head coaching standpoint. He's out kissing babies, but more importantly, he is building the program up. This is the one thing Kiffin does better than almost anybody else. He makes you proud to be a part of what he's coaching. He almost looks at it as his job is to make you feel better about your team that he's in charge of. And he does that really well. He knows how to do it. He did it at Tennessee. I'm going to make sure we sing Rocky Top down in Gainesville in the swamp. He did it at USC when he called it the number one job, let alone his dream job. It was the number one job. And he's doing it at Ole Miss when he's reminding people a part of the Rebel fan base and part of the Rebel alumni group. This is uncalled for. We are not going to do this anymore. We are not going to be mediocre. We are going to win the Egg Bowl and we are going to be competitive in the SEC. And here's the other thing that he can say, promise, see if he can deliver. We're going to finally reach the SEC championship game. Never have we done that. We've never taken the trip to Atlanta in the history of that game and the history of this program, but we will do it under my tenure. You keep doing that and it's going to start rolling in for the Ole Miss Rebels.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Throwback Thursday, 1982, celebrating the snowplow game, New England over the Dolphins on this date. All right, this one, I feel like if you told me this was 1982, I would have said, no. Did somebody redo this song?
No.
In the 90s? No. So this is, when I hear this, I'm hearing the 82 version?
Yep.
All right, who does this?
Stray Cats.
Stray Cats, that's right. I feel like this is on the radio, too.
Yeah,
it's
one of those that's had lasting power.
See, we do this Throwback Thursday, and sometimes you give me these songs, and I go, I've never heard these songs before. And then sometimes you go, I go, good Lord, that's on the radio a ton. It's still on one of those big hit shows. All right, so I thought we'd do something fun in this segment. Are you ready for fun? We have fun anyway. No matter what we do, we always have a good time.
No, I'd rather go back to boring talk.
Boring talk, that's right.
Like where we all talk monotone.
Where we just do this. Oh, I'm going to give you I'm going to break down every NFL team all the way through to the... So let's take the top four teams of college football playoff, right? We're going to do LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. Now, if you were to take the circumstances of each team, right, how they got there, how they're built, what they are, what is the NFL equivalent or the best NFL equivalent? Now, the reason I think this is a fun exercise because we're not doing best versus best. So, LSU is the number one team in the nation. So don't just grab the number one team in the NFL and say, okay, they match up well because they're top and top.
Yep.
I mean, there's circumstances, right? Quarterback does this. Coach is like this. Maybe the level of respect a school has gotten, whatever. Does that translate to an NFL team? So starting with LSU, what are some circumstances around LSU that gives us the NFL level equivalent? Well, LSU, here's Joe Burrow. They bring him in last year. He's all right. He's not great, but he's not awful either. And now they've got this complete offense that's built around Joe Burrow, and he's not only excelled, but he's given LSU a different dynamic, a different look, a different image, and he's about ready to be crowned the greatest player in college football for the 2019 season. Which NFL team do those circumstances sound like this season? Did you come up with one?
I did.
Which one? Which is?
I was really not trying to go, hey, they're number one. I'm going to choose number one NFL.
Sure, you can.
But I couldn't escape it. I chose the Ravens.
I did too. Exactly.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that they're number one. It's just, you just said it. Joe Burrow's going to win the Heisman. If things keep going the way they're going, Lamar Jackson's winning the MVP.
Lamar Jackson's going to win the MVP. Remember last year, did anybody think Lamar Jackson was a legitimate MVP candidate last year? Same thing with Joe Burrow down in LSU.
Just out of nowhere.
Right? Pedestrian stats, maybe a little better than normal, but nothing eye-popping. Just felt like he's got some skills.
We'll throw out those football terms. Tremendous upside.
Upside, right. But nobody thought LSU would turn into this passing juggernaut that they've become this season.
And not only that, but I was looking at it a step further. Both LSU and the Ravens, what are they more known for over the last 5 to 10 years is their
defensively strong football team.
Defensively strong team. Defense that'll just knock your teeth out. And this year we're not really talking. I'm not really sure who's on the Ravens defense this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
they don't have the bevy of stars like they used to have.
Yeah, all eyes are on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And both LSU and Ravens do have a solid running game.
That's right. That's true. So there you go. I agree completely. I think the Ravens are the counterpart to LSU. It just stinks that
we start this off like, don't just go number one with number one, number two. And
that's
it's like,
true.
Oh, we just come out of the bag, go, oh, well, number one is number one. Similar reasons.
I got one here for you. All right.
Okay.
I'm going to go Clemson.
Okay.
All right. So here's Clemson, the defending national champs.
Yep.
Had a season where, this is going to give it away. They have a season where they're just not quite the same, right? Just not quite the same. They're unbeaten, but it just doesn't feel the same like in years past. They've got a coach that has been around championship levels, championship performances. If I'm not mistaken, Lincoln Riley is the only one with experience in the college football playoff as a head coach. Dabo's been in it for a ton. They've got a quarterback that's one of the top quarterbacks, but, didn't have the kind of year that we thought he was going to have. And what's the key? Man, they don't seem to get a ton of respect despite what they're doing. Remember, a week ago, we were saying, boy, if they lose to Virginia, that's it. They ain't going to this playoff thing, right? The only unbeaten team that was still, we're not really sure if they should go if they lose in their conference championship game. So there you have it. Their counterpart is the New England Patriots.
I can get behind that one.
You get that behind that one?
Yeah.
Same kind of concept, right?
Yeah,
champions, something's not quite right. You don't feel the same way about them as you did a year before, yet they're still producing. They're still good. They're still a threat.
Yep. Could win it all.
Not exciting like LSU or Ohio State, but still unbeaten, still kicking around, still a team you got to reckon with. And even though you feel like there's just something missing. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something missing.
Okay.
All right, so there you go. Did you pick New England or did you go with somebody else?
I went with somebody else.
Okay, go ahead.
I went with the Niners.
All right.
And my reasoning behind this was solid quarterback play. Not outstanding, not tremendous, not great. Just solid quarterback play, consistent quarterback play. And we've seen that out of Trevor Lawrence this year. He hasn't been the built in a laboratory quarterback like he was last year. And Jimmy Garoppolo has kind of been the same way. I also went as far as hey, two good-looking guys.
Right.
And I'm sure Trevor Lawrence isn't hurting for the ladies. And to that point with Clemson, again, I was always looking at both sides of the ball. Both have solid defenses.
Really solid
and
defenses,
defense,
yeah.
And it's the defense that has kept them along. And that's what these teams are really known for. The Niners have a decent offense, but we don't really know anybody. It's not really the main focal point other than Jimmy Garoppolo.
I took the San Francisco 49ers, and I gave them the Ohio State counterpart.
Okay.
And I did it because for Garoppolo, it was like having the year off, right, with the injury and not knowing what it was. Same, I think, with Justin Fields, right? At Georgia, just, all right, I'm not going to win this job. I'm going to be the new face of Ohio State. Now, Garoppolo's not the new face of the Niners, but this Garoppolo kind of is the new face of the Niners. And I also looked at Ryan Day at Ohio State and said, look, here's a young coach that is taking over the program. He's building it. He's keeping it consistent. And I made the same equivalent to Kyle Shanahan, who could not do really anything last year, but now is the new young coach in this middle of this NFL, you know, excellence that we're seeing this big pile of teams that are very good. And Kyle Shanahan's one of the young guys. I liked your, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Jimmy Garoppolo handsome analogy. So I did like that. But I went San Francisco, Ohio State, but I could see Clemson going with it. Where did you have the Buckeyes?
With the Buckeyes, it was a little. Can I do a hybrid team?
Oh, of course.
I'm
sure.
Sorry. I might be changing the rules.
You might be changing the rules, but what the hell?
But I'm really. I could. It was hard for me to go. I kept going back and forth. Like, well, this team's. It's like this team, and it's like this team. So I'm doing both teams as kind of a. As the Ohio State Buckeyes, and that's Saints and Seahawks.
Nice. I was thinking Seahawks, too. I kind of threw them in the mix as
mainly
well.
Mainly because Justin Fields kind of reminds me of Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And I can't, you know, trying to escape that, you know, the solid defense. But I feel more towards the Saints sometimes just because Ohio State, to me, is a complete team, offensive and defensive side. The Saints, to me, are a complete team, even though they didn't show it against the Niners last week.
Yeah, I can see where you're going.
I feel like the Saints, you know, are the more complete team, more well-balanced team. Got a good, you know, obviously you have Drew Brees with the passing attack. You got a great running game. You got a solid defense. And that, to me, is what Ohio State, and that for me, that's I don't want to say Ohio State's going to win it all because I think Joe Burrow's is the X factor in the whole playoff scheme. But it would not shock me if the Buckeyes were the national champions this year. Just like it wouldn't shock me if the Saints are.
Oklahoma was tricky for me. I wanted to go Saints, but there was too much newness with Oklahoma because, look, the Saints have, what, the longest tenured coach, right, since Belichick, outside of Belichick, and Sean Payton. And Drew Brees has been around, you know, he's one of the dinosaur quarterbacks, if you will. And there's just too much newness. But the only place I could go without going the hybrid route, because now maybe I probably should have, I gave the Sooners Seattle. I gave with the threat of Russell Wilson with Jalen Hurts and, you know, a kind of dynamic offensive mind. Pete Carroll is, you know, kind of fun in that regard. I think Oklahoma is an entertaining team to watch, even if they lose. I like Seattle is the same kind, you know, the same way. Defensively, this is tricky for me because Oklahoma's gotten better defensively, but they're not one of the top defensive units in the country. But they certainly are better, and Seattle's defense has played really good at times. It's the only one that I was tricky on, and I couldn't find a point-to-point comparison, but I went with the Seahawks or Oklahoma.
Yeah, it was the same here. And my comparison to the Sooners was the Chiefs.
Not bad. That's actually probably better, given Patrick Mahomes, despite a year, is still... Patrick Mahomes, yours is probably better because while Mahomes has had a great MVP season, Jalen Hurts is not unfamiliar with this whole process, right? I mean, he's a new quarterback to Oklahoma, but he's the most veteran of all the QBs when it comes to playing in this thing.
Right.
He's done it all 4 years that he's existed in college football. Mahomes is not quite there, but... Maybe the same thing could be said about the Saints. I mean, Drew Brees' longevity.
And for me, it was mainly, you know, looking at the fact that, okay, you know, both teams need to score a ton of points because their defense just hasn't really been there.
Right.
And that's where I was looking at going at it with the Chiefs. It's like, if the Chiefs' defense all of a sudden figured out who they really were, I mean, this team becomes unstoppable. But they haven't been able to figure it out. They've had some like throwaway games this year that, you know, just leave your head shaking.
I'm going to give you the point on that one. You won the Oklahoma comparison because that's the best one. The fact that Oklahoma, they are good, right? But they've never gotten that. Since this playoff, they've been in it and yet have not been able to get to that promise.
Yeah.
They
didn't
get to that next step. And that's what we feel about the Chiefs. And you can go back to Alex Smith when Alex Smith was guiding the Chiefs, where you felt like that's a pretty good football team, but then they'd lose to the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not only that, but if we were going to like take, you know, I was trying to just stick to this year, but if we were to take it a step further,
Oklahoma Sooners as a whole are a lot like Marvin Lewis's Bengals.
Oh, true. Right. Yeah, just
they
not...
get to the playoffs every single year. They just can't win.
Can't win it, really. Michael on Twitter, again, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Good point on the Clemson-Patriots comparison. Don't forget Clemson-Patriots' weak schedule. That's
ooh,
a good, yeah, good point. Yeah. Good point. That makes a lot of sense.
And it's not their fault.
It's not their fault.
It's not their fault. We
the
can't
ACC
blame either
is
one.
Terrible, and you can't blame. Just like the AFC East, you can't fault the Patriots for having to play the crappy Jets and Dolphins twice and the Bills for years when they were terrible, too. It's not their fault.
It's not their fault.
Step up your game, other teams. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Rolling along on SB Nation AM.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's 1982 on Throwback Thursday, the snowplow game. Patriots over the Dolphins, plowing their way for John Smith to kick the field goal. Rock the Casbah. I don't think we've ever had Rock the Casbah on this show.
No.
It's like a first for the. It's like the whole day is a bunch of firsts.
But you know, I want to try to introduce new old music, I guess.
That's right. Who sang this song?
The Clash.
The Clash. Okay. Why should I? I shouldn't be asking you this.
Have you ever
I
watched
know
the?
This kind of stuff.
If you're, you remember this video at all? It's like the band.
If I saw it, I'd probably go, "Yeah, I remember that."
The band is singing in different places, and they look like, you know, they had that British punk look,
right?
But every once in a while, they just have a clip of an Arab just walking.
Jeez.
And the Arab kind of looks, you know, terroristic in a way. I really don't understand what the whole thing with the Arab. I think at the end it's like, oh, he just wants to party.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
Well, the Casbah, wasn't that in
was
Turkey
well,
or
well,
something?
Well, maybe.
Where's the Casbah?
I always thought Rock the Casbah referred to this club in San Diego called the Casbah.
Maybe so.
And it was a rock club. I mean, you go there to see live music.
Need a last-minute gift? O'Reilly Auto Parts got you covered. They have several options for gifts under $20. Digital tire gauge, 21 multi-tools, storage containers, even a universal backup camera. How great is that? You can even get professional quality powered torque tool sets starting at just $19.99. And who doesn't love gift cards? You can even buy gifts online, pick them up in the store. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
I mean, honestly, I think the Casbah has something to do with Morocco.
I think it had, yeah, I was just going to say, it has something to do somewhere. It's probably the reference that you saw.
It's probably video. Not that dirty, dingy club in San
no,
Diego.
No, no.
Although that club has been there for a while.
Yeah. The Morocco, isn't that where Casablanca is?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Last night, I saw something pretty heartwarming. Did you see the Toronto Raptors welcoming back Kawhi Leonard last night?
What a nice moment.
I
thought that was really nice of them.
By the way, hats off to the Raptors fans. We are a bitter sports society. We get angry when you don't love our team like we love our team. But when Kawhi Leonard, again, we talked about this yesterday as far as like some of the best stories of 2019. Remember when Kawhi Leonard was at that press conference in Toronto the day they introduced him after the trade, and he was like, I would rather be anywhere but here. Like, he had no interest in being in Toronto, didn't want to play for the Raptors, was disappointed he didn't go to Los Angeles. And yet, Masai Ujiri said, listen, we're going to try to convince you. We're going to try to show you the love. Maybe you'll stay, but even if you don't stay, we're going to try to win the championship. And they did. And for Raptor fans, I think they completely understood that the mission was completed, and now he gets to do what he wants to do. There is no offense by Toronto. He even said how much he loves it there, and it brings back great memories. There'll be a fondness in his heart for the city and the people who treated him extremely well. But he was an LA guy, and he wanted to play in Los Angeles. And there's... no matter what you do as a city, sometimes you can never win that. You can shower a player with all the love, attention, money, everything that individual wants. But deep down, when home calls and you have a chance to do that and you realize that your career isn't going to be, it's not a 50-year career. All right. It's not like I'll do it in my 40s. You want to take advantage of it, and he took advantage of it, and there's no ill will. He got his ring. They had a big ceremony last night. He was very honored by it, touched by it. They played a video of the championship run, including his shot against the Sixers.
It turned out to be a great night. But it's heartwarming because, again, we don't see a lot of that sometimes in sports. Even when a guy delivers a championship, you can still feel bitter because we as fans get upset when a person rejects us. That's the problem, right? They're saying no to us. They want to go somewhere else. When you're like, wouldn't the best place be playing for the team I love in the city I love? And Kawhi didn't, and he didn't want to stay, and Drake couldn't get him to stay, and he just had to go. But the Raptor fans gave him they chanted MVP, MVP. It was really awesome. It was a great moment in sports. You don't get to see that very often. But you know what? There's a lot of conversation about the ratings for the NBA this year going downhill, and they're pointing to a number of things. Cable cutting is a cord cutting, if you will, is a factor in this because more people are just saying no to cable and cable television. But also there is a feeling like there's so much player movement all the time that it doesn't lead to some level of consistent interest for a long-term rivalry or a long-term something that you can count on year in and year out, that there's just so much turnover, and it's almost on a yearly basis that a major turnover happens because some dominoes fall, and this player is going here, and this player wants a trade, and this player is trying to opt out of his deal so he could get moved, and one team is rebuilding, so they want to shred money, and so they want to move a player so they can get the money off the contract, and teams want expiring contracts, and you can get a headache thinking about all this stuff. I don't know if it's that so much. I think the NBA can still bill itself as a star-driven league, even if those stars move around. I think the cable cutting has a little to do with it. But I also think, guys, you know what? There is just a year-by-year interest in the NBA at this time that correlates to what the NFL is doing and what college football is doing. And sometimes those years, NBA ratings are pretty good. And sometimes our interest is in other things and we catch some sort of excitement in the other major sports of the fall. And that just occurs. That just happens. So I don't feel like the over-analysis of NBA ratings is something to go completely ballistic over. Is cord-cutting an issue? Yeah, if most of your games on cable, yeah, it is. I mean, if all your games are on cable, it is, right? This is not – I mean, there's no CBS, there's no Fox Sunday afternoon NBA games. I mean, you're getting them on TNT, ESPN, TBS, right, NBA League Pass. If you don't have access to those things, you're not going to watch. You can't watch. And – That's obviously an issue. And it's in with more and more people. Yeah, I've said this before. I think cord cutting becomes the big bubble that works that affects sports in a way we haven't really figured out yet. Right? Anthony Rendon gets $245 million from the Angels because the Angels have an outstanding local television deal in the city of LA. That's where most of that money is coming from. Media rights, sponsorships based on those media rights. When more and more people are saying, you know what, I'd rather just buy my television through Hulu, or I'd rather get Netflix, or I'm watching my shows on other means, live television takes a hit. Live sports television takes a hit. And it affects the bottom line in some capacity. I just don't know how. And I don't know when. And I don't really know what it means. I mean, I see the numbers for baseball going up and up and up, and no one's ever went, wow, that was a fun time. But you know what? We're going to be more realistic about the economic future of this sport. No one seems to have that conversation.
Well, I mean, that's when you're bringing up sports with cord cutting, it's one of the main reasons why I still have cable.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I still have cable. Right, exactly.
There's no other reason other than sports. And I'm just curious, there's ESPN Plus out there, and there's ways to stream live games. I'm not well versed in it yet. But I think when that becomes more the norm, why wouldn't everybody go there? And how's that going to affect all the teams then?
Right.
I mean, the NBA obviously is, I think, has the best deals going on because they're getting, billions of dollars overseas.
Yeah. And
from various countries.
If you were to do a situation where the local NHL team, like I live in Nashville, let's say the Predators said, you know what, we're going to a pay service, right, where you can pay, like Hulu, you can pay somewhat a month to stream our hockey broadcast. I hate to say this because I don't like to pick on the NHL, but would they really want to know what those numbers are? Like, would they really want to know the exact number of people streaming an NHL game during football season? Not so much like on a run towards the cup or the playoffs, but I mean like your average November game. I don't know if they'd really want to know those numbers. So the current model works for them.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb for a throwback Thursday. We've been feeling good all week, so let's feel even better with the good, Ron Culver.
Oh, the good. You probably saw this tweet because I know you follow him on Twitter, but Phil Mickelson.
Oh, my God. Yes, I did.
I don't even know what to describe the American flag jumpsuit. Is that the best description for it?
Kind of look like pajamas to me, but
American flag pajamas? Something
equivalent to that.
It was something that he was probably gifted to by John Daly.
Yeah, totally. It looked like John Daly, what he wears like at the British Open and stuff.
Yeah.
American flag pants.
And now what I can only assume was, I believe that was probably his wife Amy talking.
Yep.
I mean, she said
good old
this.
Amy.
Someone's dealing with some serious FOMO.
Let's go USA.
Now, my only question is, how many takes was that?
Yeah, for Mickelson and Amy?
Yeah.
Amy probably won, Mickelson probably five.
Yeah, but what I love most about this is I think Phil is drinking out of a president's cup, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he is. Yeah, I think he is. I thought that too. I think he's drinking out of something.
So, I mean, if you can picture this, and if you haven't, go to Twitter and watch it immediately. I mean, it's. I will even allow you to do it during this segment.
You know what Mickelson reminds me of? Mickelson reminds me, and staying with golf, Mickelson reminds me of like the 45, or better yet, like a pickup game of basketball, where like a 45-year-old guy, 48-year-old guy shows up and goes, "Hey, kids, do you mind if I play? I play a little bit, but you just put the ball in the hoop, right?" And the kids go, "All right, old man, you can play." And he turns out to be the best guy on the court. Mickelson treated social media like, "What's this? You send out thoughts on, and it's this thing called Twitter. I don't know how to use this, but I guess I'll give it a try." And then immediately became one of the best Twitter follows you could have in sports.
Yeah.
Like he's amazing at it. He's absolutely amazing at it. Incredible. You see his man, is that his man cave? Is that his living room?
I was going to describe the scenario for you, which is, you know, him sitting on a couch, one of those sectional couches with the long chaise lounge area, and he's just sitting there, and I mean he's drinking out of a president's cup, wearing American flag pajamas or jumpsuit, whatever you want to call it. Five TVs, I think I counted.
I think it was five TVs, yeah.
Two on
each side and one in the center.
Yeah. But the one thing you have to, Tony, you're probably going to go back and look at this. One thing that you have to look at again, he is flexing that one calf muscle.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I mean, flexing.
It's crazy. This guy loves the fact that he works out at his age.
He is showing off that calf muscle in all its glory.
My God, is he doing that? But, he can't get enough.
Yeah.
He's the guy that keeps talking about that over and over and over again. You're like, I get it. You go to the gym. I get it.
But this is his way of letting you know. He didn't mention he was going to the gym. He's just sitting there on that couch.
Flexing, yeah.
And you know what? I mean, most people would be laying down the way he is with his foot flat to the couch. And he's completely flexing it for the camera.
Amazing. Phil Mickelson.
That's what I loved most about that.
He is living the life. He is really living the life, man.
Yep.
He's amazing.
And drinking from a president's cup.
Yeah.
Although I will say there was a little bit of dumb there for me a little bit. More on me because I didn't know what FOMO meant. So
yeah.
I had to look it up.
What does it mean?
Do you not know either? Because
no,
if you're not knowing,
again,
will make
I'm
me
old
feel
man,
better.
Get off my lawn, guy.
I mean, you know, these millennials shortening words to just, you know, acronyms. I can't keep up.
Yeah, I can't either.
FOMO means fear of missing out.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right.
And once I read that, I was like, yes, I did know that.
Yeah, because he's not on the President's Cup team.
Yeah.
He's actually made every American golf team since like 95. President's and Ryder Cup. This is the first time in his career he has missed out on being part of team competition. And that would drive me a little crazy. I'd probably feel a little like, ugh. But he's handling it well.
Yeah.
Because he's old.
Seems to be handling it perfectly.
He seems to be handling great.
Taking some time off.
He's reminding us he has a lot of money. Okay. Exactly. We can get infer that Mickelson is a very wealthy individual.
Because honestly, I mean, when you see someone wearing that getup, you could tell that, oh, this guy's a billionaire.
Yeah.
That's
right.
A billionaire
exactly.
Getup.
I would love Mickelson's tweet to be, "Hi, I'm on my private jet. We don't even really know where we're going. We're just flying to a destination and just spend the day because I can do that because I have my own plane."
Or something along the lines like, "You know what? A couple of years ago, I ate at this really great diner in this
right.
small little town in Montana.
That's a great idea.
I just want to go."
Yep.
I was craving this food, so I'm heading to this diner to get this food.
I said to Amy, "Where do you want to go?" She says, "Oh, remember that diner in Montana?" And I said, "Fire up the jet."
Yep.
Living my best life. God. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is box office domination.
All right, let's hear it.
Disney is about to set another record.
Are they really?
Yes.
They got that movie coming out next week.
Well, no, I mean, they're already pretty close to it right now.
Right.
This movie, I mean, obviously we'll put them over the edge, but they're about to hit $10 billion for 2019.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that much. Good 10, God.
$10 billion for 2019.
All right, so we've had Endgame. It already at – what other movies that popped good for them besides the Marvel?
Oh, all the live actions.
Okay, so the live actions, yeah,
Aladdin,
The Lion King.
Aladdin, Lion King, and the
Dumbo,
Marvel.
Did that do well?
I mean, well, it did enough to add to this $10 billion mark. And then you have the Marvel movies, Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel did pretty well. Well, I mentioned Endgame. That was the big
Spider-Man, Far
pop.
From, or Spider-Man, what was it? Far From Home?
Did they own that one?
I think, yes, they do.
Or was that a Sony one?
No, that was because it's with Tom Holland.
Right.
That's how I know it's a Disney.
Oh, because Disney gets that. Okay, because I looked on the Disney Plus and none of the Tom Holland Spider-Men are on it, and I went, "Oh, do they not own that? Why am I not getting this for my $6.99 a month?"
Oh, because I think they're all still too new, maybe.
Or no, maybe I'm talking about the old ones. I mean, like the old. I watched Endgame. They've got Endgame on it. On
no,
Disney
I know,
Plus.
But some of them might.
No, I'm not
be,
talking about the newer one. I'm talking. I mean, the Tom Holland ones have been around for years now. Why can't I get the first one?
Oh, you mean with Tobey Maguire?
No, the first Tom Holland one. The
Homecoming.
Yeah, that one. Why can't I get that one?
Because I think it's still tied to Netflix.
Oh, I got it.
Kind of like Last Jedi.
Gotcha.
Okay. You can't get that one yet.
So why is this the bad?
It's not really for us. I guess it's just bad for other movie studios.
Yeah, exactly.
Universal, Paramount.
They're killing everybody.
You're not going to be able to compete with this juggernaut. Disney's going to be a monopoly pretty soon. They're going to own all the studios.
I know I'm asking the wrong person because you liked The Last Jedi, but do you think Rise of Skywalker is going to be good?
I do.
I keep hearing these rumors that they've had six different endings that they're showing to test audiences. They haven't settled down on it, and some actors are saying, "Yeah, it was a little confusing what exactly is going on with this."
Yeah, I've heard.
I'm a little nervous for it.
I've heard like good things and bad things.
I'm not one of those pessimistic people. Like I've been like there are people who really hated The Last Jedi, and they're like, "This is going to be a bomb." It's not going to be a bomb.
It's going to make money.
It's going to make a fortune. Yeah. It's not going to bomb at the box office, but it may not get critical acclaim. But I think JJ will bounce back with it. I hope.
I do too. I mean, he did. I thought he did. He did it well with Force Awakens. I thought he did that well.
Yeah,
you know, literally was just a new retelling of A New Hope. But, you know, if you go into the Star Wars gig and you're like, "Hey, if it ain't broke, why fix it?" I mean, that was the perfect way to do it.
I don't want to geek out people on the Star Wars thing, but don't you find it weird that in Empire, in Return of the Jedi, they blow up a Death Star, they kill an Empire, and then very quickly something else comes and dominates the galaxy? Like, it's not 500 years in the
quickly.
What are you talking about? It was within a guy's lifetime.
Well, yeah.
Like Luke Skywalker was still alive.
Somebody else moved in. I mean, that happens all the time.
Are you talking? You're saying that the celebration on Endor was very brief because they knew that another empire was going to just storm build a bigger station and have all of these star.
Right.
Building a starfleet is like it takes contracts, it takes money, it takes a lot of time and effort. Can't do that in just a year or two.
Well, maybe this one kind of explains a little bit because they've been hinting that the Emperor is here all along. So maybe he never quite went away.
All right, I'm geeking out. I'm going to calm down with my nerdism and get to the dumb of the day.
That's right. You'll love the dumb of the day. The dumb of the day is Carmelo Anthony hopes the Knicks will retire his number 7 at Madison Square Garden one day. I think we all hope to see
the Nuggets are
going to
retire his number before the Knicks retire his number.
The Nuggets, he feels pretty certain that the Nuggets will retire his number, but he's hoping that the Knicks will retire his number too.
Please, Carmelo.
Come on. I love Carmelo. Don't you remember all the great thing he did there?
Do you know how many times, I'm not kidding, do you know how many times I sat next to his, in his locker and looked over at people and go, did he just say what I just thought he said? Like Carmelo would sometimes just go on these rants after your average basketball game, like against the Sixers, where you'd go, this is going to take a while to cut up.
Right.
This is going to take some explanation. He was a fun player, though. Don't get me wrong. I did enjoy watching him play in Denver. I enjoyed, but afterwards, he was great.
And then when he first got to the Knicks, with those, you know, the first couple of years, he was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then,
except I spent the entire 2010-2011 season waiting for him to get traded. Any second, any moment, he would leave. And it was like a nightly thing. And then finally, but he's not getting his jersey retired to the Knicks. Come on. He did put them in the playoffs, I think, a few times?
Yeah, a couple times.
Not every year.
But I think what everyone's going to remember are his last couple of years.
Yeah.
With the Knicks, where it was just turmoil. It was terrible. You know, maybe it was more James Dolan than anything else. I'm not sure.
I think the biggest problem for him was when you talk about the great Knicks, he's just not in that same category.
I don't even think of him as a Knick.
Yeah, he's not loved. Like you can take guys like John Starks, who had a bad shooting night in Game 7, and yet there is an embraceability that Knick fans have for him that I just don't think they do to Carmelo. I just don't think they wrap their arms around him and say, yeah, you're one of us, no matter what, flaws and all, or the ups and downs, we'll take it with you as a fan. I don't think Carmelo gets that from Knick fans, like other players who have really given up everything to on the floor at Madison Square Garden. And he's had great nights at Madison Square Garden, and he's done some good things for the Knicks, but I just don't think he's embraced like that. And I think that's a key, especially when you're talking about an iconic franchise like that. But that was a good laugh anyway.
Yeah, no.
That was a good chuckle.
Let's see. I'm just looking really quick. The Knicks have 12 numbers retired.
Wow, okay. Like, he's not Dave DeBuscher, you know? He's not like Willis Reed, like those old-time Knicks that were, you know, forget Ewing. I mean, back to the 60s and 70s. Like, he's not... Is Phil Jackson on that list? Do you have that list?
Of what?
Of retired jerseys for the Knicks? Is Phil Jackson on that list?
They really show... It's not showing me a list.
No, it's not showing you? Okay. I was just curious. Maybe I'll have to look that up during a break. Because now I'm curious. When I get curious, I can't stop.
Yeah, who the retired numbers are?
Now I got to look it up, because now my brain is like, you got to find this out. Otherwise, we're not gonna be able to go on.
Okay, so we got Walt Frazier, Dick Barnett, Earl Monroe, Dick McGuire, both were number 15. Willis Reed.
Yep.
Dave.
DeBuscher.
DeBuscher. Yeah. Bill Bradley. Patrick Ewing. And number 613, Red Holtzman.
Red Holtzman. He was a coach.
Yeah.
On the championship.
So 613 is the amount of
So wins Phil Jackson didn't get his number retired.
No.
Okay. He wasn't an all-time great Nick, but he's still. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM.
With the heartbreak open, so much you can't hide. Put on a little makeup, make sure they get you good side. If the world's unspoken.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Is this Goody Two Shoes? Yeah, isn't it?
Yep.
Who did this?
Adam Ant.
Adam Ant, that's right. Adam Ant. There you go. God, I love 1982. 82, we're celebrating the snowplow game on Throwback Thursday. You know how this works. If you listen to the show, we find a date in history, and then we go play the music of that time and then talk about that time. On this date, the Patriots won a game 3-0 over the Miami Dolphins.
Cheating!
But they won it because a snowplow guy was going across the field and went, I'll help John Smith kick the field goal. Boop! well, down a snow-covered field.
If you remember, or if you hear the story, he said he got the signal from the coach.
Rod Meyer said, go out there.
Yeah, Rod Meyer gave him that look like... it almost feels like what I want to believe, and they should do, Disney should do a movie on this.
I think they should, or they should do, it's, you know, something, I mean, that'd be kind of fun.
Straight up Disney's alley, cheating, convict, you know, on work release. The Disney elements.
How did a guy on work release get a job, like, as the plow guy at Schaefer Stadium for the Patriots?
Doesn't that seem like a wanted gig?
Right. That seems like something people would want to do.
I mean, I always think back like to Shawshank Redemption, right? I mean, no one wanted to be a box boy or a bag boy back then.
Right, right.
I don't even remember like going to the grocery store as a kid. I don't even remember there being bag boys.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like until I think I got closer to high school that it was like, oh, look, there's baggers now. But yeah, I just... I'd be curious too. How'd you get the job?
Yeah,
is that a typical work release thing? Is, you know, I mean, do you work release people to being a Zamboni driver? Because isn't that the same thing?
If you put the ad out that said, "Hey, we need a snowplow driver, a small snowplow driver for the game coming up to clear the field," you'll get to watch the game for nothing, and you'll get paid. And everyone just went no, and they went, oh, "Who are we gonna get?" And they're like, "Well, there's a guy on work release we could get," and he was like, really? Oh, I guess. Give him the job. I mean, nobody else seems to want this. I found that's weird.
Maybe they just had a deal and say, oh, well, you know, I mean, they got to remember, too, the NFL, I don't think it was as big as it was now.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, now, but kidding me?
Mark Henderson got a game ball for this. A game ball from the Patriots for this. Great. 1982 on Throwback Thursday.